Welcome to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada. Today is Friday, April 25th, and I am your host, Jenny Rempel. I am joined by Cynthia.
Hello.
And Allison.
Hi there.
Who is also here operating the board today. Jackie, Alyssa, and Tim are away. So summer is fast approaching, and that means it's almost time for internship season. On this show, we are featuring 5 interviews with a variety of activists who have interned for animals at different animal rights organizations. Lots of different organizations have openings for college students, teens, and grown-ups to volunteer as part of internship programs. These programs provide valuable hands-on work experience related to the professional world of animal rights and the nonprofit sector. Internships can range from a full-time commitment to a flexible schedule and may also include travel, housing, or financial stipend benefits. Although these internships are available all year round, with summer on the way, we thought now would be a great time to give you the inside scoop on interning with the animal rights community. We will be talking with Janina Gonzalez, a college student from Greensburg, Pennsylvania, who interned for Mercy for Animals last summer, Taisha Shia, founder of Shia's Hot Sauce from Tampa, Florida, and former Mercy for Animals intern, Alan Derer, a biochemistry major at Vassar College from Rockland County, New York, who also interned for Mercy for Animals, Amy Balcom, who traveled from Vancouver to Los Angeles to intern for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and Glenn Gatz, the owner of Nice Shoes in Vancouver and former intern for Farm Sanctuary. We will also be recapping and chatting about World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week, which is coming to a close right now. Animal Voices is Western Canada's only radio program dedicated to animal advocacy and compassionate living, broadcasting live every Friday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We bring you interviews, commentary, news, and events related to what's happening for animals, both locally and abroad. We encourage the movement towards a world where non-human animals are treated with compassion and mercy and are afforded the basic right to live free from exploitation. In addition to our live broadcast here on 100.5 FM and at cooperadio.org, our shows are also available as podcasts on iTunes and at animalvoices.org after airing. So, not only is it getting close to summer internship season, but this week it was also World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week.
Yeah, and so to honor World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week and all those animals that are in labs all across the world, I volunteered with Stop UBC Research, which is one of our local groups here that is fighting to stop the laboratory animal research at UBC, which is actually the university I attended. And we had a protest outside the UBC campus that's actually in downtown Vancouver at the Art Gallery and Robson. And there's about 5 of us there. It was pouring rain, and we had a big banner that said Stop UBC Animal Research, and we handed out leaflets, and we had a petition, and there was lots of great feedback from people, lots of people who were actually shocked that UBC does animal research. Most people did not know that, nor did they know that they do the most invasive research, and that's what the petition was about, getting people to sign the petition to say that we're trying to get some steps here. Obviously, we would like no animal testing, but one of the big steps is to try to get them to stop doing the most invasive procedures, which usually happens to primates. So we were out there, and I actually met somebody who used to do animal research herself. She was a postdoc for a biochem, which is actually what I majored in as well. And that's why I didn't end up doing my master's or my PhD, because I did not want to do animal research. You don't always have to do it, but there is some. And she said she had to do a small portion, and she was horrified by it, and she did not like having to put the animals down. And her even talking about it, I could feel how much sadness it brought to her. But she told me about a lot of people she knew who were just numb to it, who would order, you know, heaps of animals for procedures that most of them, of course, as we know, are not necessary. And so it was really interesting to speak to her and to talk to her about how she sees that most of the times that they use animals are for just to get grants, to do research for the sake of publishing papers for unnecessary research. So it was quite an interesting experience yesterday.
Yeah, that's pretty unfortunate. I was also involved in some action with Stop UBC Animal Research yesterday. I had the pleasure of taking part of a photo shoot that we were doing, which will be released soon. And there was a great activist who happens to be pregnant and have a daughter. So for her maternity photos, she decided to use that as a chance for activist action. So we had a makeup artist come and paint them and use different props to make them look like the macaque monkeys that are used in research at UBC. see. So that was a pretty cool experience. And since they were all dressed up, we took her and her daughter to the UBC Brain Research Center that has just opened, where they use a lot of these monkeys. And unfortunately, there was no staff there at the time, but she had come to offer herself for research to volunteer instead of being taken forcibly. So we made some comical videos there of her offering her services to the university. That should be released online soon.
And so don't blow it. We're here to present the cutting-edge radio you want to hear. What about a program featuring just local Vancouver bands?
No market for that.
We have an expert on gospel music.
No.
Our public affairs programs dig deep with voices other stations won't touch.
No.
Programs with First Nations hosts?
Sorry, no market for that.
We've got a lot of shows in other languages for people all over the world. Folk music?
You're kidding, right? Who would sponsor that?
Can't make big bucks with programs people want to hear? You have to go to Co-op Radio for that. Community-owned radio. Now at 100.5 FM, the switch is on.
Animal Voices on 100.5 FM CFRO, broadcasting live in the downtown east side in unceded Coast Salish territories.
So I have some news for us to speak about today. Can you hear me over there?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a hard time hearing myself here. So last week, Mercy for Animals Canada, they are a national nonprofit group here who does undercover investigations. They released another undercover video that shows calves being kicked and punched and detained in confining crates with little room to move at a Quebec-based veal producer. MFA Canada said its undercover investigator recorded the brutal treatment of veal calves over an eight-week period at a Delimax veal-affiliated farm in Pont Rouge. The video shows farm employees kicking, punching, and force-feeding milk to baby calves. One sick calf is shown bleeding profusely from a shotgun wound to the head after an attempt at euthanasia failed, and he is finally killed by a second rifle shot. Animals are also shown chained by the neck and confined in crates that are too small for them to turn around in. One calf has collapsed with a hind leg caught in the wooden slats of the crate's floor. Delimax spokesman André Blais said that the actions in the video are unacceptable, and he distanced Delimax from the farm in question, saying that it was not one of the company's farms, but rather a client farm that Delimax provided with food and services. Now, get this. He also said it's isolated behavior from bad human beings, and that the people responsible for the abuse left the farm 2 months ago. So isn't that what we're always hearing, though, from every time one of these undercover investigations breaks into the media, that it's isolated behavior? What do you guys think of that? Like, that is a pretty common response, and it was for this story as well.
I think we're seeing a pattern, because we had those exact responses when MFA did an investigation at chicken hatcheries and other investigations they've done. So I'm really noticing a pattern forming.
They've done many undercover investigations, and it's not isolated. At what point do you say it's not isolated? This is a pattern, right?
Yeah, well, they get so much footage. Obviously, these things are happening across the world in North America and in many different farms and different types of farms, and they continue to get all this footage. So obviously, it's not isolated.
So Mercy for Animals Canada has now lodged a complaint with Montreal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. They want the SPCA to pursue animal cruelty charges against the veal producer in this video, and the SPCA has confirmed that it is investigating the actions in the video. So for those who don't know, veal farming is a direct byproduct of the dairy industry, as all veal calves are male offspring of dairy cows. Dairy cows must be impregnated annually to continue producing milk. And about half of their calves are male and of no use to dairy farmers. So that's how they're used, and they're put through really horrible treatment. Quebec is a large producer of milk-fed veal in Canada, producing 80% of the veal. And in 2013, 165 farms in the province of Quebec raised almost 150,000 milk-fed calves. So, in case our listeners don't know, we're right in the throes of the Canadian seal slaughter, which is an annual occurrence that unfortunately happens every year. in Canada, and so far we're on about, it's about day 10 of the seal slaughter, and as of yesterday, after 9 days, 27,712 seals had been clubbed, shot, and skinned for fur. So I was curious to know what was making the news in the seal hunt this week, and in doing some research, I came across an article in the National Post about an online war between singer Morrissey and the Department of Fisheries and Oceans, where Morrissey has been attacking the Canadian government for attacking and slaughtering the seals. So this is really interesting. The altercations began last week on April 19th when Morrissey published an anti-sealing hunting letter on his website in which he lashed out at Fisheries and Oceans Minister Gail Shea for her characterization of the hunt as humane. Sophie Doucette, the spokesperson for Shea, issued a response to the National Post stating, "I would urge Mr. Morrissey to consider the impact that his ignorant and inflammatory statements have on the livelihoods of thousands of hardworking men and women in rural communities." The singer responded by saying, "I would remind Sophie Doucette that building and maintaining the concentration camps of Auschwitz also provided livelihoods, but this hardly made the camps warranted." Morrissey referred to the annual seal hunt as Canada's carnival of death and also took issue with Doucette's suggestion that he is a millionaire celebrity desperate for a hobby, shamelessly regurgitating misinformation. So how about that? He says he actually knows more about the Canadian seal hunt than he wishes he did. He said also whether a challenge comes from a millionaire or from someone who is homeless is a remark that would only be made by someone of imperious ignorance who cannot develop the moral debate and whose own personal financial agenda comes before the lives of thousands of healthy beings. And Doucette has since responded to Morrissey's attack on her initial statements, writing in an email to the National Post saying that our government has been steadfast in its support of our Canadian sealers and the communities where they live. And doesn't it always come down to that, is we need to support our sealers, where actually the income that they make from sealing is actually a very, very small percentage of what they make during the year as regular fishers. And there is actually, I've seen a petition which I signed recently, I think it was on change.org, to really urge the Canadian government to do a national buyout to the sealers, to actually, instead of killing the seals, which there's no market for their fur anymore, is to actually just buy them out. So interesting also that Morrissey has not performed in Canada for the better part of a decade in protest of the annual practice, which I didn't know. So good for him.
And moving on to events, these are all events in Vancouver. The first is the Snowflake Fur Demo by Fur Bearer Defenders, which is happening today, actually, from 1 to 3. And it's Snowflake is located on Pender and Howe in Vancouver. And this happens usually every Friday from 1 to 3, but not every Friday. So contact Leslie at furbearersdefenders.com for information and to get on the list of people who can volunteer that day. And also this week, or next week, actually, No Whales in Captivity needs 50 people at two meetings to hold placards that say, "The public demands a whale referendum." The first is Monday night, which is April 28th at 6 p.m. for the park board meeting that's being held from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. As we know, the park board is the group that is able to have the referendum, and so we're trying to put pressure on them. The park board is located at 2099 Beach Avenue in a brown building at the entrance of Stanley Park, and the motion is on notice for a review of the practice of keeping cetaceans in Stanley Park. So it's a very important day to be there if you can make it on Monday.
I was there the last time many years ago, and as, of course, people know, that failed. There was no referendum.
Yes,
hopefully it'll be different now.
Well, there's so much more media buzz and support from, you know, the mayor and all these other groups.
And I really think that will make a difference this time, for sure. It's time. It's definitely time.
Definitely. And so the other meeting is, I would probably think, just as important, Tuesday morning, April 29th at 9 a.m. at City Hall for the council meeting, which starts at 9:30 a.m., which is located at 12th Avenue and Canby Street, and it's on the third floor in the councilor's chamber. And the motion on that notice is for the same thing, the plebiscite on phasing out cetaceans in captivity at the Vancouver Aquarium. So try to make those if possible. And on Sunday, April 27th, is the Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale. This one is being hosted by Liberation BC, and it'll be held at 3G Restaurant, which is located at 3424 Canby Street in Vancouver. And the proceeds for the bake sale will go towards new signage signage and literature for Liberation BC's ongoing chicken vigils outside the slaughterhouse, which is another event that happens every Friday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Hastings Street near Commercial. And it looks like they may need still some bakers, so you can contact Willow at liberationbc.org for more information. And please remember to bring your own containers. I know I'll bring a big container for myself.
Yeah, I think we're going to be heading over there. So I just wanted to make a note, too. Worldwide Vegan Bake Sale, what does that mean? Well, there's bake sales happening all over the world at this time, and they actually have a website where they're all listed, veganbakesale.org.
Did you know that Vancouver Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM has over 90 different shows produced by over 350 community members? This wide range of programming produced by our diverse group of programmers ensures that we have a show you'll love. We have shows on feminism, spirituality, disability rights, politics, unions, and parenting. We play jazz, indie rock, reggae, blues, and folk. We broadcast in a dozen different languages and have more First Nations programs than any other radio station in Vancouver. Find your show on Vancouver Co-op Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM. All different, all the time.
So today we are bringing you a series of interviews to tell you how to become an animal rights intern. Five interviews, in fact. I feel like that's some kind of a record for Animal Voices.
I feel like it is as well. Congratulations.
It was a busy week for me. So animal rights internships are generally unpaid, full-time work experience opportunities, though some are set up differently than others, and each internship is unique. I had the pleasure of going to New York City last summer to intern for Mercy for Animals. I'm really excited to introduce some of my former roommates and interns I met in New York today. First up is Janina Gonzalez. My first ever roommate. Janina is a college student from Greensburg, Pennsylvania, who interned for Mercy for Animals last summer. Welcome to the show, Janina.
Absolutely. I'm happy I could join.
So can you tell us a little bit about why you decided to do an internship related to animal rights?
Yeah. Well, I was kind of reaching a point in, I guess, my university career where I could go in several different directions, and I had been interviewed by Barclays in New York City, and that experience like really made me consider like where it was that I wanted to go. So this was like going to be a pretty fantastic internship, and I was looking at like going into like investment banking. But kind of after being exposed to, I guess, like that side of like their interns were like really well, I guess, like really well set up, to put it that way. I was really wondering like, If I stepped into like this kind of world now, like, but I was really passionate about animals, like, would it stick with me, or would it be something that I kind of put on the back burner, kind of just like kind of sit there? And so I realized like at this time I was reaching like a point where like if I kind of looked more at like really getting active for animals, which I'd done but not completely like invested myself in, then would that like affect me later on? And I realized that, like, at this time, or at that time, if I like totally went into understanding like more about veganism and other people and other people's journeys and like what animals go through, that was going to stay with me like for the rest of my life, instead of just kind of complimenting like, or myself like learning a little bit by a little bit about more about animals and like taking some time whenever it was convenient for me. And so instead I was like, you know what, this is a good opportunity for me to really look at like what I can do for animals and like other people do for animals, and like how companies like are shifting more toward like being more aware of like what animals go through and how we can be more compassionate. And so consequently, like, I realized this was it. And so I started looking at like organizations that I really liked, and one that stuck out was Mercy for Animals. And I realized that they had like an internship program that I had looked at a year or two before. But I was like, oh, that's okay, I'll keep looking at like other options. But then I realized like this was going to be really beneficial for me, because I knew that like I felt like I had potential to really like inspire people to look at the suffering that like animals go through and kind of adopt really effective ways of putting compassion in like in parts of their life, and then making that like a lifelong decision. And so I realized that by doing that, I was going to really help myself and like really make an impact.
Why did you choose Mercy for Animals as the place that you decided to do your internship with and volunteer for?
one of the first things that really got me interested in like animal rights and helping animals was an organization called Vegan Outreach. And I'd read a lot of their literature. I don't remember exactly like how I came upon it, but I think I became vegetarian when I was 13 or 14. And I'd been reading like a lot of different sites that had information about like how fish are treated and like how pigs and cows and like veal cows or veal calves are treated. And like the younger me was really shocked at like that something like this could go on and not many people spoke out about it. And I realized that animals really didn't have a voice. And so this, in the literature that I'd end up reading online, I came upon like Vegan Outreach, and a lot of the people who were involved in Vegan Outreach were also involved in Mercy for Animals. And I started to read about how Mercy for Animals really took, like a really pivotal role in encouraging large companies to adopt more like compassionate, outlets, or like really look at like one of the biggest things that I know Mercy for Animals was really like pushing for when I was like really looking at them was gestation crates and Walmart and different things like that. And that was something that when I was in New York City doing the internship, we like really focused a lot on, and one of the tours that was going on was focused on gestation crates. And so I saw that they had like a lot of campaigns that they were really focusing and pushing forth and that were really feasible. They were not like a huge like diversion or anything, or trying to like just cause attention. They were actually looking to do something very like concrete and constructive, and so that's what really drew me to them. And I'd also like seen a lot of their literature and like leafleted some of the stuff that they've put out, and I really liked it, and I liked the message, and I liked how it was presented. It was like a good amount of straightforwardness, but also like encouraging that like small steps make a difference, and then from there you can really start looking at like the whole picture of how you can live a more compassionate life.
What sorts of things did you work on as an intern for Mercy for Animals?
Well, I was like really, really excited when I learned that I was going to be going to work in New York City, and I had like a phone interview with our boss Eddie, and he just seemed really, really outgoing and really excited about a lot of things. And just being in New York City was a really fantastic opportunity. It was really neat to be able to find so many like vegan restaurants, which was something that I never, like I'd come upon a lot of vegan restaurants, but it took a lot of like searching, and in New York City there's a plethora of them, so it was really, really exciting. And I also lived with Jenny, and or lived with you, and so it was awesome because Jenny really showed me like a lot about like different like ideas of veganism and like how it kind of really extends into everything. And I always would like usually buy like cruelty free items, but then it was really like at that point that I realized like, why do I still own like, or why do I still kind of buy like shampoo and things like that that aren't cruelty free? So, because they're like cheaper, but I was like, look, I can get like a similar product for like just a little bit more, not that much more. And so I really, really like looked at that shift and like looking at companies that really advocated stuff I believed in. And so, that was something that I learned just by living with like another person who had like, again, like similar outlooks, but also like has lived them a little bit differently. Because like being at my school, like I wasn't always in charge of like my food options. And so when I came back to school, I really stuck to more like vegan foods instead of just being like, oh, well, that's okay if I do this, or that's okay if I like cheese with pasta, whatever. But once I came back, I was like, no, this is like a choice that I like actively am making, and I'm not going to be like really passive about it because it's something that is very important. And so that really stuck with me. And the internship was fantastic. We did a lot of like a wide range of things. Like Jenny yourself did like a lot of graphic designs. It was really cool to see like how, I'm a communication major, so it was neat to see like how the image is really good with, in terms of Mercy for Animals, they do a really effective, way of putting across their image and including it, like a lot of details, like good attention to detail. So it was really neat to see that like in terms of the graphic design process. And then I focused a lot on like looking at like articles, kind of summarizing them and looking at kind of where like trends were going and like what kind of things would be coming up, or kind of like trendy things to like look at and encourage veganism and compassionate living. And so that was really neat. And then we also had a lot of events going on. Like, we had Pride Parade in June. So that was a really fantastic experience to meet up with, like, lots of volunteers. We had several, like, conferences that we went to. So that was incredible to be around so many, like, vegan companies. Like, I never ever had, like, really good vegan cheese, and there was a company, I think, called, like, Treetops or something, that had, like, really interesting, they even had, like, brie, like, vegan brie, so that was really awesome. And then I really like vegan ice cream, but very rarely could I ever really, like, have it. And so it was fantastic to be, like, in New York, where there were so many places that offered it and had so many, again, vegan options. And a lot of, like, friends that I made that weren't vegan were really excited to go try these all vegan restaurants. And so that was quite an experience. Again, it was a really neat, like focus on the culture and different things. And I was able to bring back a lot of that enthusiasm, like, back to where I am. So it was pretty neat.
Do you have any funny stories or interesting things that happened while you were interning that you want to share with our listeners?
Oh, I thought it was really neat to, like, meet some of the older interns. Like, one of the older interns was Taisha, and she's like a really neat character. She's so funny because she calls herself like a really young cat lady. But she was really funny to hear, like, some of their stories from, like, their days at the intern apartment that we lived at, and how they said they had a mouse there, and it was just funny because it used to scare them or different things. But then they ended up just being really friendly to it and ended up calling it, like, I think the box, or, like, his place instead of their place. So it was just neat to meet them. And she worked at a really, like, cool, it was, like, a yoga center, but it had, like, a cafe. So it was neat to, like, meet her and then meet other connections or, like, other people who were, like, really interested in, like, helping out animals. And then also going to a lot of, like, really interesting talks. And I can't think of, like, really any funny things. And there were a lot of really funny things that happened, but I can't think of anything. But probably a lot of the stories happened with, like, the first few weeks, like, getting lost and things like that. So as you're trying to remember that, you always have to go uptown and downtown, and the difference between the two, and missing trains, and then figuring out you went the wrong way or going all the way there. So it was always, like, interesting experience. But most of the times, those are very, like, serendipitous moments where you end up finding, like, these new places that you didn't know about. So it was always a good time. You said that we would always talk about how we could write a book on just the, like, the snippets of conversation that we hear, like, walking down the street. And so that was always a funny, like, funny thing. And then we'd share those little funny memories. I can't think of any, like, right now, but they were always, like, generally, like very colorful phrases.
Do you have any advice for someone who might be interested in doing an internship or signed up to go do one? Any advice for future interns?
Yeah, absolutely. I think some people might be a little bit afraid of going into, say, like, the nonprofit sector for an internship. But I would say it really, like, puts you at the forefront, because you are not only getting to apply a lot of your skills directly, you're usually, like, on your own. So you really have to, like display a lot of, like, the really good characteristics in you as a worker. And so you have to be, like, doing things before they need to be done, and you have a wide range of roles. So sometimes in, like, other internships that I know, like, I've had and my friends have had, you're kind of put aside, and only when they really need you do they call you. And so in terms of, like, working for a nonprofit, that's a really exciting thing, is that you are doing so much. And then there's also a lot of really neat things, especially with going into, say, like, trying to help animals, or, like, with Mercy for Animals, that we got to go to a lot of, like, really neat conferences, events, like, fundraisers, and things of that sort. And there's a lot of really, like, enthusiastic people, and that was one of the things that I loved, again, is that you're around, like, really positive people who are really focused on really bringing, like, some good into the world. So it was really, really, like, fantastic experience. So again, I highly recommend it, and it really gives you, like, a really good feel around, like, feeling that you'll have with you for a long time and you'll carry with you. So that's what I have to say about it.
That was our interview with former Mercy for Animals intern Janina Gonzalez. In her interview, Janina mentioned another former Mercy for Animals intern, Taisha Shaya. Taisha is the founder of Shaya's Hot Sauce, and she is from Tampa, Florida, but currently lives in New York. Welcome to the show, Taisha.
No problem.
So could you tell us a little bit about why you decided to do an animal rights internship?
I've always loved animals since I was very young, and I knew I wanted to work with animals. So I went to college, and I was studying zoology, and I realized that that's not exactly what I wanted to do to help animals anymore. So I went to like the first annual Veg Fest in Tampa, and I met someone from Mercy for Animals, and that's when she told me, I told her my whole deal and my history with animals, and she was like, well, you should try to intern with Mercy for Animals. Maybe that could lead you in the right direction. And that was the first time I ever realized that you could intern with animal rights organizations. So I applied to Mercy for Animals after that. And it was definitely a life-changing experience. Yeah, so then I got to New York City, and it was funny. I actually wanted to go to Chicago, but they told me that they needed me more in New York City. So I came here, and I worked for 2 months under Eddie Garza, and did mostly leafleting and data collection, outreach, tabling at events, and things like that.
What was the best part of doing the internship, in your opinion?
The best part of my internship experience was meeting other like-minded people. Coming from Tampa, Florida, I had only met one other vegetarian and one other vegan, and they weren't even from Florida. I met them when I was in Maine. So I literally didn't have anyone else who was interested in animal rights, who was interested in eating vegetarian or vegan. So when I came up to New York City and I met all these other people who cared about animal rights, it was like, I felt like I wasn't alone anymore. So I would say that was definitely the best part of my internship.
So I noticed you're now working for Hampton Creek, and you've done some other work related to veganism and animal rights. Did your internship help you to get jobs in the animal rights field?
Yes, I would say that my internship helped me to get work related to animal rights. I just came to like this epiphany when I was here that I didn't want to do anything else that wasn't in line with my beliefs. And New York City also has way more to offer than Tampa does. Tampa has one vegan restaurant in the entire city. So New York has more opportunity. And because of my experience with Mercy for Animals, it led me to get internships with other places and also jobs that are vegan-oriented. So, yes, in short, working with Mercy for Animals did help me to get the position that I have now, and also other positions as well.
That's really exciting. What was your other internship?
I did a short internship with Veducated. I produced an event to show Veducated at a local theater. So I had to get sponsors for the lobby after party thing, and so I got like tofurkey, Daya, Mary's Gone Crackers, a couple other things like some hummus, different brands of hummus, and things like that. So it was about a 2-month long process. So I worked with Marisa Wolfson and Demetrius Bagley on that. And I got that because of Mercy for Animals.
Do you have any advice to pass on to people who might be interested in doing an internship for animals in their own lives?
Yes, I do. I would say a lot of people I've talked to who have interest in doing internships are afraid of doing an internship because they don't want to leave their family or, you know, for some other reason. And I would just say go ahead and do it because it is so worth it. I came to New York City thinking that I was going to be here for just 2 months, do my internship, and go home, but it opened up a huge another world of opportunities for me that I would have never had if I hadn't come up here. And then you create a huge network of people. I've gone to the AR conference twice, and the first time I was kind of new, but the second year I felt like I knew so many people, and it's just a really awesome, supportive community, and it's a huge movement that, if you want to be a part of it, I think doing the internship is the best way to really dive into the movement.
And do you have any funny stories or interesting things that happened during your time as an intern with Mercy for Animals?
Funny stories. I mean, I guess I would just say interesting people coming up to talk to you anytime that you're leafleting or tabling at an event. You know, sometimes you get the people who come up and they are like, well, I really love bacon or, you know, anything like that. And you show them the video, like the MFA pay-per-view video, and, you know, they walk away and they're like basically in tears. And it's like, I guess it's not necessarily funny, but it's crazy how something so small as a 4-minute video can have a huge impact on somebody. So basically, I would just say that, yeah, interactions with people, especially in New York City, are really intense. There, you know, run-ins with police and subways telling you that you can't leaflet, and just random things that would probably only happen in New York City.
That was with former Mercy for Animals intern Taisha Shaya. She mentioned some of the perks of being an intern. I myself discovered quite a few of these. For example, when local vegan businesses or restaurants discovered that I was an intern for an animal rights organization, I would sometimes get discounts or free stuff or presents, which was pretty cool. So our next guest is also pretty cool. His name is Alan Derer, and he is a biochemistry major at Vassar College. He is from Rockland County, New York, and he's a former Mercy for Animals intern as well. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Thanks so much, Jenny, for having me on.
So can you tell us a little bit about why you decided to do an animal rights internship?
Sure. I can start off by saying that I was raised vegetarian, but for many years I didn't know about the cruelties that farmed animals endured on factory farms. And it wasn't until my freshman year here at Vassar College that I attended a film screening where my eyes were first opened to these cruel practices. I saw a film about the egg industry specifically, where I learned about how all chicks have their beaks seared off at birth without the use of any painkillers. And I learned about how these animals are confined in cages so small that they can barely spread their wings. And so after I learned about these cruelties, and having grown up with a dog named Leo, and, you know, I'm sure many of your listeners also grew up with companion animals at home, I knew these were practices that I no longer wanted to support. So I made the easy decision to give up animal products. I went vegan. And shortly thereafter, I knew I wanted to do a little more and get active in order to encourage others to make similar compassionate food choices, because I knew that no one supports animal cruelty, and it's simply a matter of informing people how animals are treated before they reach our plates so that they can make compassionate food choices.
What sorts of things did you work on while you were interning with Mercy for Animals?
I did an internship with Mercy for Animals about a month after I saw this documentary, and it was a really amazing experience. That's where I learned how to be an effective activist. I got to participate in a lot of grassroots outreach, similar to, I'm sure, what you did with Mercy for Animals, Jenny, where I helped write blog posts, and I was interning in their New York office, so I got to help out set up a lot of outreach events in New York City, such as leafleting events and pay-per-view events, where multiple times a week we would go out and distribute pro-vegetarian literature to people passing by where we were set up, or doing pay-per-view where we pay people $1 to watch a short 4.5-minute video on factory farming. And many people are shocked and horrified and immediately either donate their dollar back or tell us that they're interested in reducing or eliminating their meat consumption.
So, Alan, what I think is one of the most interesting parts of your story is that you actually have been able to gain employment and work opportunities as a result of the work you did as an intern. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I've been fortunate enough, as you mentioned, where I've been able to work with Mercy for Animals in a paid position since then. But it was really the experience that I got from Mercy for Animals, bringing it back to our campus here at Vassar and helping to lead our campus animal rights group called VARC, Vassar Animal Rights Coalition. So after my Mercy for Animals internship, I came back and helped lead a number of really successful campaigns, such as Meatless Mondays, where about a quarter of our student body on the meal plan has pledged to go meat-free once a week. And through getting the experience of leading campaigns here, I was asked to interview for a job with Mercy for Animals. And two summers ago, I filled the role as the Dallas campaign coordinator for the summer, where I worked with volunteers and interns doing pro-vegetarian outreach all over the state of Texas, which was a really amazing experience. And a lot of people have asked me what it was like to do pro-vegetarian outreach in cattle country. But I've found that there are compassionate people everywhere. And no one wants to see animals abused. And that's so doing outreach, even in Texas, was a really positive experience for me.
Do you have any advice or words of wisdom to pass on to people who might be interested in doing an internship for animals in their own lives?
Absolutely. I highly encourage anyone, especially students who have opportunities such as winter breaks and summer vacations, to get the experience of working with a nonprofit farmed animal advocacy group. Fortunately, there are a number of them out there. Mercy for Animals, the Humane League, Vegan Outreach, Compassion Over Killing all have fantastic internship programs. And I think an internship is a really great opportunity to get the experience of working with folks who are really involved in the animal advocacy movement and learning about how we can be effective. For example, I know before my internship with Mercy for Animals, I wasn't sure how to talk about vegetarianism or veganism, and I would often not be sure how to bring it up in a, you know, it can be difficult to talk about animal suffering in a positive way where you encourage folks to make a change. And by learning from more experienced activists, I learned how to stay optimistic and positive and really encourage meat reduction, because if we ask for all or nothing, a lot of the times we're going to get nothing. So really applauding change as people progress to more animal-friendly diets. And I think one thing that's also helpful to note is that even if folks aren't able to do a 3-month or 1-month internship, even getting out to leaflet once a week or volunteering for a week with Vegan Outreach during the summer to leaflet at Warped Tour, for example, every little bit helps. And animals on factory farms are relying on us to help be a voice for them. So any little bit we do to share information about the plight farmed animals endure really makes a big difference for animals.
That was our interview with former Mercy for Animals intern Alan Derer. Like our next guest, I chose to do an internship in the United States. For me, it was a bit of a challenge getting across the border, but I've never really had an easy time with that, so maybe that's just me. But she tells us a little bit about her experience. So I'd like to welcome Amy to the show from Vancouver. She traveled from Vancouver to Los Angeles to intern with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about your internship experience?
It was such a fantastic experience. Right away, everyone was very welcoming, and you got to take part in everything and just jump right in. There was so much to do between topic training, and you got to do daily brainstorming meetings and researching for the latest projects, lots of outreach opportunities. There was yummy potlucks and vegan food that was brought in for us, and we even got to do a farm sanctuary trip while I was there.
Where was your internship located?
I did my internship at PETA in the LA office.
Awesome. And so why did you decide to pursue an internship?
I decided to pursue the PETA internship because I had been participating in a lot of demos over the years, and it interested me to see what happens behind the scenes at the largest animal rights organization. So I thought, you know, I'll take the time and go check it out for myself.
What were the biggest benefits of taking part in the internship for you?
The biggest benefits, getting to sharpen my skills and meet a ton of like-minded people that were amazing, and just getting out there and being in a different environment and seeing how other public people act for activism, and basically that was it.
Do you have any advice or words of wisdom for other people who might be doing internships themselves?
Yeah, wanting to work hard and work long hours, and you're passionate and you have the time to do it, I highly recommend it, and I highly recommend that you treat it like a job, because you know you get what you put into it, and you know, sharpen your skills, learn and grow. And it's a great way to get your foot in the door.
And so can you tell us a little bit about your story? How did you become interested in animal rights and doing this kind of work to begin with?
I took it as a health point in the beginning. And then I learned about, you know, how the animals suffered and everything. And then that's completely my focus now. Growing up, I wasn't really aware of anything that happened with the animals, or I wasn't taught it, and it just wasn't my focus. So when I shed the light on that, I did a 360 pretty much overnight, and I decided to focus on that because I think it's something that we need to focus on for our environment and our health, and especially the animals. So, you know, it definitely, I just want to keep sharpening my skills and educating everyone around me.
And what were some strategies that you learned for promoting animal rights that you got to work with during your internship? Do you have any tips for how to promote animal rights for our listeners?
A lot of it, I think, is just getting out there and giving people literature, doing protests, doing demos, just letting them be aware of everything, and educating them about documentaries that are coming out. I think that's pretty much in the light right now, you know, with, you know, there's like the Ghost in Our Machines or Blackfish, and, you know, just shedding the light on topics that people aren't really aware of. And I think it's becoming a huge hit. So getting out there, doing protests, doing demos, handing out literature, being on the front lines, I think is key. Being out there, being and talking to people is key for change.
So what is a day in the life of a PETA intern like at the LA office based on your experience?
You know, every day was different, but some days included topic training. So you would learn different things with food and animals used for food and clothing and experiments and entertainment. We would have a daily brainstorming meeting just to go over the hottest topics, what's in the news, who has some fresh new ideas that we can, you know, possibly promote. Did a lot of researching for the latest topics. So, you know, you're on the computer a lot. Your researching skills is key, or you definitely learn them pretty quickly. With your outreach, some of them were sprung on us. Some we already knew that was going to take part. So we did some outreach for SeaWorld, and we did some outreach about Angora fur. We went to some campuses to educate them on different campaigns that was happening, street corners. I got the opportunity to travel to New Orleans, so that was really exciting. What else? I'm just trying to think. Everything changes on a day-to-day basis. I think it's just what's happening. And, you know, some days you pick up where you left off with different projects. But all in all, every day was a new unique experience.
And I'm also curious, what was it like for you as a Canadian going to the U.S. to take part in this? Did you have any trouble crossing the border, or how were you able to go into another country to do volunteer?
Well, it's not a paid internship, so I can just head over there and volunteer. I didn't have to really give any information while crossing the border, which was nice. I just went over and said I was having a 3-month holiday, which is basically what it was. So it was perfect.
Thanks so much for joining us on the show today, Amy.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was our interview with local Vancouver-based activist Amy, who is a former intern for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I was lucky that on my own internship, I got to use a lot of my skills as a photographer and graphic designer and apply them for the organization I was working for. But in contrast to this, our next guest chose to do an internship where they learned a whole new set of skills. Glenn Gates is the owner of Nice Shoes in Vancouver, and he's also a former intern for Farm Sanctuary. Welcome to the show, Glenn.
No problem.
So can you tell us a little bit about your internship experience?
Yeah, it was about 6 or 7 years ago. I did a month internship at Farm Sanctuary at their sanctuary in Orland, California, which is in Northern California. We're the workers at the sanctuary. So we did stuff like cleaning and brushing animals and all the menial tasks, opening up the hen houses in the morning and giving the pigs water and changing hay. Then there was some fun stuff like running around with goats, and that was always cool. Hanging out with turkeys, chasing the geese, putting the geese in at night, that was a big pain because geese are fierce and angry animals.
Your experience is a little different than some of our other guests. Why did you decide to do this type of internship?
It was a completely different experience than I'd had. I mean, I had a little bit of experience growing up with animals because we had animals, but having a chance to spend that much time at a sanctuary and see the animals there, living their lives like that, it just seemed great. It was an experience that I wouldn't be able to have otherwise. I can always go do office work if I want to, but always go and spend time at a sanctuary and chill out with turkeys.
Can you tell us a little bit about what the application process was like, or how you were able to get this internship opportunity?
The application process was fairly simple. You have to fill out a form, send it in, you say what months you want to go. In a 3-month span, you can really get up to speed on the tasks and how everything works, and then get more efficient over the next couple of months and do more advanced work. But I only went for 1 month, which they are okay with too, because they do always need help. There is a lot of work on the farm done by the interns. They have some staff, but they really do depend on interns to take care of a lot of things around the farm.
How were you able to pursue an opportunity like that? How do you take a month away from your life to go and help animals?
I had still fairly recently moved to Canada at that point and hadn't started working full-time. So it was an opportunity that I took in an in-between work time. Some people can take a month off from work, but I was just lucky in that it fit in a time when I wasn't working.
Do you have any advice for people who might be interested in doing an internship related to helping animals, or who might be signed up to do one already and are a little scared about starting their internship?
Well, there are a couple of things. Don't be afraid to get really dirty, because you will. Bring a bandana. That was the best piece of advice that I got, so that you can tie it over your mouth and nose cowboy style when you're putting hay out, because it gets super dusty and you will end up with green stuff up your nose and it will be terrible. It's a lot of hard work. Be prepared for sore muscles and being tired and falling asleep at 8 p.m. and waking up at 5 so that you can be up at dawn. It's nice that they only make you work for 5 days. You get 2 days off, and on those 2 days you get to hang out with the animals or do what you want. But yeah, be prepared for a lot of really hard physical work.
What were some of the biggest benefits of being able to take part in this internship for you personally?
Biggest benefit was just being able to be around that many rescued animals and really experience what they were like. I learned a lot about chickens there, which isn't knowledge that a lot of people know, because most of us don't spend any time around chickens or other birds. So that was really, actually it turned out to be useful, because we had a rescued chicken for a few months after that, and that knowledge really came in handy, because we knew what kind of foods and we sort of knew what health issues to watch out for. Definitely the biggest benefit was just the pure experience of experiencing these animals and the variety of them and their personalities.
Thanks so much for joining us on the show today, Glenn.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada.
So on next week's show, we're going to be featuring a couple of interviews. One of them will be with Twyla Francois. She's on the board of Mercy for Animals Canada, and she'll be talking about yet another undercover investigation that actually broke last week by them. And we talked about it a little bit on the show last week. So they had an undercover investigation at a hatchery. It's International Month, Respect for Chickens Month next month in May. And that'll be our May 2nd show in honor of all the chickens. We're going to find out what happens to the baby chicks in the egg and broiler industries.
In the meantime, we ask you to stay connected with us online. You can visit animalvoices.org, where you can download our shows as podcasts, or like our page at Facebook, which is facebook.com/animalvoicesvancouver. And also join us on Twitter at animalvoicesyvr. And we want to hear from you, so send us suggestions and comments about the show either on Facebook, or you can email us at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com.
We are closing the show today with a song from my band, Hello Harmless, called Biology. This song was first premiered as a demo version way back in September, right here on Animal Voices on Co-op Radio, and so I'm really happy to share the finished track with everyone today. The song is also available as a free download at helloharmless.bandcamp.com, and if you like it, you can come hear us play it live on May 3rd and May 23rd at Joe's apartment on Granville Street in Vancouver. The song is dedicated to animals used in education and research who've lost their lives and their dignity after death, and we're playing it now in honor of World Laboratory Animal Liberation Week. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today, and stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Remember to be kind to the animals.
I've been dejected, cut up into pieces. I'm separated and dismembered. Everything. It's so disturbing, but I cannot.